Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 538 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How are we going, people? Don't you answer, Glenn. I'll answer for you. You're a grumpy little fucking gnome tonight for some reason. And it started in text messages like fucking 2 hours ago or so. And you've just been a right little cunt ever since. You were down fucking at a bush dance fucking do-si-do in your partner or something. From the look of the photo you sent through, with you're drinking obviously a clear liquid with ice in it, which, I mean, knowing you means it's fucking moonshine. I can see a drum fire in front of you, and bunch of cunts in flannos. Do-si-do in the partner, and Alan Man left the corner.
You're making.
I'm just scrolled up to the photo.
I went through a couple of the photos in very quick succession, essentially turning it into a silent movie.
Yeah.
And a bunch of the guys that I was reading their lips, it looked like they were going, "I'm voting no as well," and then they proceeded to pat each other on the back.
So, and like, you know how they say like a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
I mean, these pictures were like worth, you know, like not even half a dozen words. Like the words that they said to me were like, I pigs are being fucked here. Like That's the words that
is,
I got.
Is interspecies one word or two? Because that's how many words that picture was worth.
Yeah, and does a hyphen? Does a hyphen drop it down to $9.99, or is it just a freebie?
Look, I'm just glad
that's
that
called
I can
the Toowoomba 1000.
Bring a smile to the faces of you
Toowoomba
two miserable
1K.
Cunts.
Love it.
Hey, no, but the thing is, like, obviously, yeah, me and Stepdad, we're fucking yucking it up right now. We're laughing. You're the one that sounds miserable here.
No, I'm fantastic.
We sound like we are in great moods.
Mate, why would I not be in a great mood? I get to come and fucking talk to you guys. Great human beings. I don't care what anyone says.
Well, guess what? People don't say otherwise. We don't associate ourselves with people that say otherwise. That's how it goes, mate. Now, we just had meet up weekend, so brief me on the comings
weekend.
And goings.
Meet up weekend, fucking three-peat weekend.
So fuck that shit. We'll get to it. It's a meet up weekend. So brief me on what happened. How was your time down in Sydney there, Glennie?
Look, I had a glorious time. It was delightful. Met Jay's cousin. She was a lovely person. She exceeded all of my expectations as to what a relative of Jay's would be like.
So was she like adopted into the family?
I think so. I did ask that question. That's exactly the question I did ask.
It's so funny. It was such a sad insight into how Glennie sees the world, right? We're driving along and we're chatting footy and I don't know. And she's made some throwaway comment about, you know, how do I talk on the show about how terrible it is to be born in New South Wales and support Queensland, to not support the state that you're born from. And the reason she did this is because she was born in New South Wales, however her dad is a Queensland fan.
Right.
And so since she was little, like all the kids of great parents that I know automatically follow the same football teams that they do. Like, if you're just calm, sensible, loving parent, you don't even have to ask. Your children just follow into your football passion and follow the same teams that you do without question. And so she follows Queensland, just like her dad, who is all of those things. Glennie's...
Yeah, that's actually the opposite. I mean, like, if she followed his club team, then that's fair enough. But if she followed Queensland by her father and he didn't, like, beat her down and say, no, you were born in New South Wales. I know this is not going the way you thought it would, but I mean, like, with club, yeah, I agree 100%.
However, Glennie thought that all I'd been doing was fucking G'ing her up to take pot shots at him.
To be fair, got it so in your game. In the back. To be and fair, he, have form.
He got, like, you would think that she was some poor fucking Malaysian dockmaster that just rang him and said his shipment was late. And the poor thing's trying to explain, no, I go from Queensland too. I'm just as terrible as you are.
As if, like, I was like, as if you couldn't get any worse being related to this fuckhead, but here you are.
So no.
So Glennie, you spent much of the weekend endearing yourself to people?
As
just
always.
Like you, just like every other day of your life? Yeah. You didn't take a holiday or anything?
Just going about my business. That's what I do. People love me. But that I'm was beloved.
That stage was we were on the way out Saturday night to the wonderful wedding reception celebration of long-time fan of the show, Timmy McIntyre, funniest listener we have.
Long-time fan, long-time fam.
That's it.
Of the show. Let's be real.
Fam. Legit.
Yeah.
And fucking one of the greatest ways that I have seen to do a wedding. Where it was, you know, we've had our ceremony and we've done all of this, you know, really important traditional stuff and it's important to us. And we've had the really special people in our day-to-day lives here. And then we're going to open up the celebration afterwards without a structure.
Yep.
And, you know, you go to weddings. Like, for some reason, someone's always stressed. People are always concerned about something or there's this and that and blah, 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 blah.
They're probably worried about the imminent divorce.
Fucking hell, Glennie.
Just
this is what we're dealing with this evening.
Stats don't lie, just saying.
But everyone there was in such a fucking great mood. Like, the vibes were immaculate. The fucking whoever did the playlist was an absolute fucking banger.
Plenty of Candy Crows come across. It's great.
They were staying in the same hotel as the Panthers. So Timmy's had a run in with Scotty Sorensen, who he was.
Holly's now pregnant. Not sure who to.
I can tell you that it would not be Jerome Luai. That she has a deep dislike of old Romy.
Is that only on the night after he gave the best man speech?
So yeah. But yeah, absolutely amazing celebration. Thank you for including us. That was absolutely fantastic.
Well, you know, we just crashed. We just crashed it. Wedding crashes. Should be like a movie about it.
Well,
no. Oh, God.
No, it was Sunday. Great. It was great to see Timmy and Holly enjoying their time. It was great to be a part of it. They're fucking quality people. She can do so much better, but... You know.
And so much fucking love in the air. Like, even the, you know, there were plenty of other members of Tour Nation that were there and their partners as well. And I've commented in the DMs on one of them that all of their partners are just fucking extensions of how great they are.
Yeah.
And I love
some them. Some partners are a fucking significant improvement on the members of Tour Nation.
Well, yeah, I mean, the legends of Nick are, you know, far and wide, mate. I mean, you don't have to relitigate that. We know.
That was great. And then Sunday, the members exclusive was wonderful. There was, you know, fucking love him or hate him. Old mate Danny's always the first one there, the first one merched, first one showing off. You know, I don't know whether he was going to a fucking grand final or a Ronnie James Dio jewellery cosplay convention, but
did he rock up looking like Mr. T again?
Fucking had all the rings.
He loves it.
And all the
he loves
things.
It.
Bro, you got to put that twill scarf in the wash. It's not a napkin. It's not a napkin. But I'll tell you, there's a bloke up in Queensland who will give you some advice on how not to wash a twill scarf, because it does end up actually looking like a napkin if you put it in the hot wash. Absolutely wonderful. People came through and cruised during the day. Again, Bar Cleveland, Jimmy, absolutely fucking stellar. Grover somehow hustled people at pool and made new friends out there.
As he does. As he does. I will say, Nate, the space that Jimmy was talking to you about all those years ago, using upstairs.
Yes.
It's been so immaculately renovated. Like, we couldn't have a meet up there because...
No, it was like, I think last year we were down there, it was like a wedding reception or something going on there when we were there, wasn't it? Like, there was a bunch of like very well-dressed people going, up and down the stairs that day.
Yeah.
While we had people dying in the fucking toilets.
Yeah, exactly.
Barfing everywhere.
I actually made the comment that, I couldn't imagine a situation where we could potentially have Sharky Dave, Chris Bailey and Ryan McDonald in a space like that, fucking at their absolute finest, propping them
and
up
Jimmy,
weekend.
And Jimmy would be like, yeah, motherfucker, I never offered the use of that space.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't planning to.
No,
that's good. Like, I didn't hear a word out of Jimmy on the Sunday, so I can only assume that everyone behaved
nicely. Yeah, because he was too and drunk and was throwing up everywhere.
And it was a significant improvement on last year.
Well, it depends on your point of view, really. Depends if you were the one on the floor or the one with the popcorn. How about Brisbane? Tell us about the Brisbane meetup.
Yeah, it's fucking great. The venue,
like a pack of
cunts
to me.
Winghouse at Bowen Hills is the only downfall is that it's just not within like a stone's throw of Lang Park, because if it was, it would be the fucking greatest, because it's like it's big. And it's kind of like, breezy and outdoor-y, because it's all sort of open on most of the sides and stuff like that. And they got the bars in the middle. And all the way around the bar, like the U-shape of the bar, which is quite long, they've got TVs above the whole way. Then they've got TVs sort of mounted off the ceiling, like in a couple of positions. And then down the end of the bar where our table was facing, they had a big screen there. And then there was a place like a Crab Shack or something next door, and they had like a huge screen as well. So there was just anywhere you turn, you were looking at a screen with a game or something on it, so it was fucking great. And being like a wing place, like burgers and everything, it was all great. And we're pretty much the second. I think I rocked up there probably about 1:30, and with an expectation that people would sort of be there, sort of was saying two. But, people started rocking up pretty much straight away and on it. And I will say, at Winghouse, I'm not sure. Look, I haven't looked at the fine print of, the RSA certificates lately. But sending waiters around with a handheld FPOS terminal and just trays of shots, soliciting shots into people, and walking around with just trays of pre-made shots, I don't know if that I'm not sure if that's... that responsible in service of alcohol, because when you get some drunk people that are already fucking drunk and you start bringing the trash shots and they can just tap and go on these shots, it gets irresponsible pretty quickly. But it was a great time. We got to see some generations as well, some people that had been around since almost day one, their kids making their first appearances, because they've hit 18, which is, makes you feel really fucking old. But we got to see, one of our favorites, Nortz, tell probably his best story to some of the people who hadn't heard it before, and his son was hearing it for the first time. It was like touching to see, like, just the respect, like, just to see, like, the illumination and the newfound respect.
Look,
Dad, I'd have so much more time for you if you had told me this story 15 years ago.
Although, without dropping specifics of the story, I had to Google the other person to show his son who it was, because he had no fucking idea. So we're getting old, right? We're a long way away.
Like, what sort of admiration?
We're a long way away from that silver medal, Glennie.
Is that like my dad's cool, or his kid's now recklessly using bandsaws?
Well, I didn't see the second one. I mean, maybe it happened afterward, but yeah. But yeah, no, it was great. Everyone was in great spirits, and we had a good time. And there was a good mix of like Broncos fans from local Broncos fans, and also staunch disciples of hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Yeah, okay.
They're in attendance, which made for a good. But everyone was in good spirits, and
one cunt from interstate.
And yeah, we had Glenn's mate and he, running interstate to avoid him in a meetup.
Scared, fucking scared.
Very happy that we've now got enough to do both. Because shit's changed. 2016, you know, I feel back then it was easier for a lot of people to take time. The fucking financial condition of the world was vastly different than it is now.
Yep.
And it was easy to get away for a weekend. Now to give people the option, well, fuck, if I can't travel, then...
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, this year, with this year being an anomaly where the Broncos were actually in the grand final.
Yeah.
And so there was a ton of locals gone down to there, to that game.
Yep.
I mean, so on a regular year, I mean, the Brisbane one would be even more welcome, I think, by the locals because
it was very interesting.
They wouldn't go down for no reason, you know?
Glenny, would you agree that there were far fewer, and our people notwithstanding, but there were far fewer neutrals just out and about grand final day?
Yes.
Whereas, like, we've had people, like, at previous meetups, you know, oh, yeah, we bought tickets in August, and we're both fucking this bottom Tigers side fans. Supporters, but we're...
Yeah, and we're just coming regardless. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel
I'd agree. I don't know if... Yeah, I don't know if the heat... It was fucking hot. Like, I took a little sabbatical to go up and watch a Canelo fight. Unfortunately, Jimmy, personally, doesn't spring for KO or whatever at the pub that he manages. Which is quite disappointing. So I scooted up the road with Clevo to watch the Canelo fight, and it was only a couple of 100 metres. Holy fuck me, it was hot.
Yeah, you were walking up there in like peak ass 37-degree portion of the day though, right?
Yeah, exactly. But even just, like, it's a busy part of the world, that area, and it just wasn't the amount of people just out and about. You know, for a grand final day when there's that many pubs and places around. So that was standing.
Funny, and look, I'll fucking spoil it, but we've got a special guest host coming up for a bit of the game review from a Broncos supporter who said that there were a fuckload of full kitted out Warriors fans at the grand final.
Wow.
Oh, they obviously didn't go on the what if fucking cancel 24 hours before reservation thing. That's all that tells me.
Yeah, so.
A, perhaps, you know, unnecessarily overconfident, and two, didn't get the free cancellation on their bookings.
But no, absolutely fantastic day. Fuck, it worked great. Brisbane and Sydney in conjunction. How good? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and the atmosphere at this place is good too. I did a flyby because it's only about a block or two from where Killer has drum lessons. And so after his drum lesson, I sort of did a flyby on a Saturday just to sort of get it straight in my head that it was where I thought it was and all that sort of thing. And that was when the AFL Grand Final was on, and it was fucking packed. And I was just like, wow. So then we went there for hours, and because we started at like, 1:32, it was great. There was very few people there. But then by the time the game actually, the grand final came around, the place was fucking jumping. It was absolutely packed. So it's good atmosphere. I just wish, if they actually started using that exhibition train station again and just made it like a short hop, like two stops down, you know, maybe it'd be more of an option. But it's just too far away for like a magic round base of operations. But it'll be the grand final meetup place for sure, I reckon. I was very happy.
Fuck yeah,
good.
Tell you what, I had a lot of beer. It's been a long time since I've drunk so much actual beer, like just straight pints of beer. I was like shitting. JB all up on this. I was shitting meconium until probably fucking Wednesday.
Yeah, wow.
like, just fucking crazy. Yeah. But
any blood? Deep inspections?
No, none of that. It was just as black as the night. Yeah, okay. Nice. But that's phenomenal. That's what you do when you have random shots and like 12 fucking pints of beers. All right. So, look, I guess without any further ado, let's get on to how you had the conversation with Sam. So, you tell me how it fits in. Will we talk first? Then we just
let's cut insert now. It in, we do have long time fan of the show.
Someone who actually hosted a few episodes of the show.
Yes.
Back in the day, yeah.
Sam Wars, who was kind enough to give us his time. So let's cut to that now and hear the grand final review from the Broncos' perspective.
There is no cock like horse cock. Send your asshole into shock. You need horse cock, of course cock. Grab the lube and slam the day away.
Welcome to our special guest host grand final segment. I am honoured to, proud to, happy to be joined by long-time listener of the show, long-time friend of all the hosts and all the other listeners, the staunchest Brisbane Broncos fan I know, whilst living in dozens of other countries, has always been a ticketed Broncos member. So we thought, who better to bring on to discuss the game that was, from a Broncos fan's perspective. Please welcome Sam, Mr. Wars, Ekio, Ricardo, Juan, whatever your face is.
Ekio, Estadio, yeah, I can't even repeat it myself. Thank you. That's a lovely introduction. Thank you. I feel like I'm being teed up to be absolutely dunked on. So thank you for having me.
Oh, mate, this show is not about dunking on anybody. We're about loving.
Let's see how the show progresses, shall we? Go easy. Go easy. It's only my second time down there.
That's it. Previous guest host from when you were living in Australia?
Many, many moons ago.
As but long ago as the Broncos' last ring?
I would say, yeah, actually, you're probably right there. You're probably right there. Probably wasn't too far after that. When I was young, my knees worked, all that sort of happy stuff.
Because I got to tell you, I saw the 20th anniversary posts this year of the 2003 Premiership, and it is so fucking pleasant to look back on a 20-year-old ring when it's not your most recent ring.
I can imagine that's a really good feeling. I think the real issue is when you're growing up and your team's successful, and I could probably easily say that my team might have had some earlier success. I mean, went through my early years, 92, 93, you know, I was, you know, yay high. 97, 98, 2000, 2006, you expect there's this level of consistency that will flow on from that, right? You're only half a decade away from a ring. Only to become an adult man where your joints hurt and you still have not tasted that sort of feeling for a very long time. It sucks, frankly.
Yeah, I can imagine. So let's get right to it. Lead up, you were in Sydney. You travelled all the way to Sydney from Germany to watch the game. And you got to hang out with us at the meetup in the morning, which was great. And then you toddled off to the game. Take us through the events. What did you think of the grounds? What was it like there?
I mean, the whole thing from the moment I left Brisbane, to be fair, you get to Brisbane Airport, there's the dual Brisbane Lions, like Brisbane Broncos. The fever's everywhere. Like that city, Sydney was full to the brim with Brisbane Broncos supporters. And you can pick us from a mile off, not simply because of the jersey, but because we wear them like 500 sizes too tight for some reason. Like I don't know why we do this. We look like we have sex with our sisters and haven't updated our jerseys in 30 years. But anyway, the vibe was good. The vibe was good. So pumping around Sydney, there was a lot of Broncos fans. Wasn't sure what to expect for the most part. But generally a really good vibe. I loved the bar, Bar Cleveland, had a chat, just only punched out one or two drinks to make our way out there, sort of ASAP. And even on the train itself, the train out there, Broncos fan, this is what you like to hear, right? The vibe's pretty good. He's spruiking that Broncos are going to bring it home, a few chuckles on the way. And the general vibe, which I find really strange, is that there was maybe 60% Broncos fans. And I know I've been spruiking in the Facebook page that everyone wants to ride Brisbane home. And I think I've been validated here because they were getting booed all night long, Penrith. But 60% Brisbane fans, for some reason, 20% Warriors fans. Someone needs to explain this to me. Did these fuckers go off early?
Fuck, well, obviously.
But in all, like, full kitted out, like, proper random South fan style, just giving off this, like, we're just happy to be here vibe. I mean, they're on the Broncos bandwagon, so I was happy to sort of suck it in, but super strange.
They were on the
and
Broncos.
Then there was just, I think they were. I wow. mean, I couldn't tell, but what are they even doing there? But generally, precinct, amazing. Good vibes, beers all around, classic jerseys, a lot of bands. I actually got in there early to watch the women's game. Mm-hmm. As well, and I probably should have suspected after the Titans lost that, and I was on all Queensland teams to win, that I was in a bit of a pickle, but didn't know at the time. But really nice stadium, just absolute shit fight getting out there.
Yeah, that's the one thing. We were discussing this at the meetup, and I'll put it into the boys in the other show as well, that you could never do Magic Round in Sydney. You could never do Magic Round and have it have the same vibe as Sydney does, as Brisbane does, in Sydney, simply because what an absolute fucking cunt hole that place is to get to and to spend any time not watching footy in.
I completely agree. It's like when you get out, I mean, really Magic Round's never been about the football, if we're absolutely honest with ourselves. A small percentage is, but it's about everything that goes on around it. Being able just to leave, you got the bars and clubs close by. What are you going to do at
that? Well, yeah, I don't know. You can't microdose your friends without them knowing. That's fucking...
I mean, you can. You can. You can. But it might be frowned upon. I mean, it's okay. I mean, there's a small precinct there that you can, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have been, right? So probably not as big as this one because, you know, Broncos. But just the general vibe was good in the area. It was good.
Nice.
Good shout. But the Titans really fucking let me down, man. Like, the women's team had a crack. I put a bit of money on them to win it, and they just shat the bed. But that was my theme for the day, mate.
Excellent. I hope you keep that same energy for the second grand final. So on that note, you have been notoriously confident going into the grand final.
Yes.
Was that actually bluff and bluster, or you didn't see it coming at all?
No, you don't. I just fucking knew. Like, I knew. I bought my tickets in June. I just knew. Like, deep in my core, I knew. Bought my grand final tickets before they were Broncos allocated. I just bought them because I knew. I really strongly, inherently believe that this team can win a premiership. They should win a premiership with the squad they have. Mm-hmm. I think we have the right roster to... I think we're the complete opposite of Penrith, and that's why we can beat them. A lot of teams try and play Penrith in the grind, and then you've already lost the battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but I mean, it's pretty clear in the first half when we defended brilliantly, but we tried to play our way out of this grind a little bit. Nothing happened. It's when we just went fuck it that we really opened the doors. So I think the only competitor I thought all year was Penrith.
Yep.
With Melbourne are always a competitor for Brisbane because we hold their pockets for some strange reason, and have for over a decade. But I just knew. I really just knew, and I was not worried. I was not worried with 20 minutes to go. I was not worried until that literally...
I would suggest it's fair that you would have been less worried with 20 minutes to go than you would have been at kickoff.
Yeah, I was starting to get that. I think my boys are going to...
So drag it back.
Yeah.
So the game kicks off...
Yeah.
Take us through how you saw the first half.
So I'm sitting on the 30-meter line, I don't know, just on the sideline there, and I've had a pretty good spread of the game, surrounded by a large majority of Penrith fans, had Adam Blair a couple of seats ahead of us, a few champions of rugby league scattered around. But that first half for me was, I thought we were going to come out harder. I really thought we were going to come out harder and just like we did against the Warriors, like we did against Melbourne, is just try and beat the shit out of them. And to be fair, I really think we were just counteracted by Penrith just playing some good footy. I think that's where the game was won. Like, I know what Cleary did at the end there, but it's that first half where I think we expended a lot of energy being defensively brilliant. And we were.
Yeah.
For a whole half. Like, very, very good. But I think that's where the battle was lost, but also won, right? They gave themselves a bit of belief. They scored that late try, but
I think this is where, for you guys, you've been so dominant in your forwards against most teams this year. You know, Flegler and Carrigan and the rest of them have just had an absolute cracking season. Unfortunately, like that battle, Moses and Leota, Moses and Fisher-Harris won that battle. Absolutely. Very narrow margin, but they weren't allowed to dominate in the forwards as they have been in other games.
I agree. Especially. I agree in a way. I think generally where our forwards are so explosive, I really think they turn their focus to just defense instead of trying to be explosive. I think they funneled their energies elsewhere, but it just comes down to control. Probably a little bit of nerves there, but Penrith control in that first half was just fantastic. I don't think the play got down our side of the field till very late in the game. I mean, I just had my head cocked to the left for the majority. I mean, obviously I'm doing no fact-checking here, but I'm pretty sure the majority of the game was run down that half of the field. It felt that way anyway until we ended up scoring late.
Yeah, no, it did. And you guys defended like no other side I've seen this in. That first half, and you did a lot of it, and it cost you in the end. But that first half, that defensive effort, fuck.
I think Billy Walters, 40-20. I mean, there were just so many good early signs where we gave these hints that we could break away at any minute, but it just never came.
Yeah.
You know, it just never came. And Penrith just did such a great job of turning us around. And I don't think there was any panic from Brisbane in that first half. I think it was just pure class from Penrith keeping us parked down there, you know, to sort of sow the fruits of their labour to just come and bite us in the ass come the second half. But I really felt it was one-sided, but at no point did I think that we still wouldn't win the game at that point. I just thought we were absorbing it, ready to give them a little bit in the back.
Okay, which wasn't far from how the second half went. So you go into the break down by four. And really, the only try that Penrith scored was off the Reynolds dropout. Everything they tried to actually manufacture, you guys turned away.
I agree. I mean, it was a bullshit try, for absolute honest with ourselves. I mean, it was a bullshit. You won, actually, yeah. Actually, you know, thank you for bringing this up, because if we actually look at the rugby league you played, you essentially won off three great tries. We scored three better tries, just quietly. And then the one that actually, the one that won you the game was one we gave you out of a complete clusterfuck. I think that's a pretty fair question.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That, like, Hope Solo looked at the hole that Reece Walsh left in your fucking defensive line and was jealous of it.
I have not watched any of the replays back on TV, nor will I, until I'm 6 feet under. So my angle on it, the angle I had, looked like he squeezed through, like in my, I don't know if I could say that on this podcast, but he squeezed through the smallest of gaps. That's the angle I have on it. So if you have a different angle, I can't write it that.
It wasn't one of the, you know, you see those tries and you're like, fuck, where was the obstruction?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that gap was that big. It wasn't that big. But it was, like, Reynolds completely arm-tackled when he first stepped back. He just went left foot, straight in. So, but you come out at the beginning of the second half.
Yeah.
And it's again into that grind, and then Ezra streams away from his first.
So, I mean, the only replays I think I've seen is the Ezra tries, because this is obviously all I can deal with. But I think the first try could get it wrong first or second. Again, which is pretty much what starts most of our movement, is it was Reese Walsh accelerating over 10 meters faster than anyone in the history of time. And then I think getting it around to Ezra for him to break off first or second try. And that's how we play our rugby league. You know, it's fast, it's quick movement, it's things like that that get us started and the ball rolling. And the moment that try goes over, the belief is there. Like, instantly, you can see it in their faces. You could feel it in the stadium. I mean, I thought that was the start of it. I thought we scored last first half. We come out, we score again, then again. And I just felt the momentum building. At that point, I just did not see a way for Penrith to come back, because in all due respect to Penrith, the great team that they are, they're not in this position ever, ever. Okay. If you think about it, who tests them like that?
It's not necessarily about who tests them. It's about the fact that they don't. I said this to you the other night. It's the arrogance I see in them, that they give absolutely no fucks about the other side, what the other side are doing, and the position that they're in the game. They just give no fucks about you. There is zero respect. They know that they'll just play 80 minutes their way. And there is nothing you can do to stop them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they bully teams into that. Like, we're going to take that from you. But, I mean, like, that's a lot of points to pull back. Yeah. No fact-checking here, but I don't know.
So he scored his first. Then he breaks away for his second.
And he breaks away for his second. I'm out of my seat at this point. I mean, I'm out of my seat every time. But, I mean, I'm just glad Philip was there. Big hug. Because in that moment, I knew we'd won it. Hindsight's 2020. But in that moment, I really thought we'd won it. Because this is how we play, right? I think the moment we get a sniff, we're very much a momentum-based team. We've proven throughout the season that we can fight our way out of some things, but I thought we'd done that in the first half. I thought Penrith, all they had was what they had in the first half. They play extremely laterally. Like, they just threw nothing at the line. So much so that I had a feeling it was intentional. Like, because how can you be that poor at attack? I don't think we were that great at defense, but they did it.
So short there.
You think? I mean, we did defend amazingly well, but from my angle on the field, it just felt like they were just going left, right, waiting for a gap to appear. And one never appeared. It just didn't turn up, at least for the first 60 minutes of that game. I mean, Cleary is moving them around. If you think Cleary doesn't do what he does and they lose the game by a couple of points, what's people's opinion of Cleary in this game? Because for the first 60 minutes, what was he doing?
He's lucky that the narrative is that he was, amazing, but the narrative would be that he got hip dropped and his leg was fucked, because he was rooted most of that first half. There was a tackle that Haas made on him where he's hip dropped him, and Adam G, for the rest of the game. This is an interesting segue, because there were things like, there was the hip drop on Cleary, nothing, the tackle. I think it was the second time that Walsh got taken back in goal. Oh, no, sorry, the first time he was bundled, and it looked like he copped some knees in the back of the head. So both sides had things that you'd, in a season game, you'd be like, oh, fuck, that's a penalty. What did you think of the referee?
Brilliant. Loved it. I loved the refereeing in that game. I had no issue with it. I think what was there, I mean, it's hard in the passion of the moment, but I'm thinking there was, what, was there one penalty and 1-6 again? Well, maybe a few more penalties. I really only remember two. That's far off.
Well, there were, I want to say there were three. I should probably bring that up while we're talking.
But I definitely remember the six again. I think it was only one of those that happened late that really got us on the back foot. But from the penalty perspective, I don't think there was many. I'm happy.
Most of them were for Adam Reynolds' shit dropouts.
Ah, yes. A penalty per se. I mean, of course, they get a kick. He fucked the short clock out. But, I mean, if I'm talking about infringements in play.
There was only one repeat set?
Additional.
Yeah. Game.
Yeah, that's the one I remember in the second half that put us under pressure. How many penalties total?
Hang on. It was something like 3-2, maybe.
Yeah, and that's how I remember it. I actually quite enjoyed how the game was refed personally. I mean, you don't see the nuance of the tackles. Like, I didn't see all the grubbiness that you had seen, but the way I felt the game was moving, I didn't feel like I was stopping every 2 minutes trying to figure out what a penalty was for.
That's it.
No, I think, I mean, fair shout. Hats off to the ref. They deserve it there because that was some flowing football for the most part.
It's such a fucking weird thing to say. Yep, that game was amazing, and we love how that was refereed. Neither one of our sides tried any bullshit in the ruck because both of those teams' philosophies is, fuck you, get up and run. I want to get up because I want to make you run as much as you can to tire yourself out.
Because I agree with that.
You have 80 minutes.
I agree with that.
Think the rest of the league can be ref that way, which is a shame. So essentially, I'm saying every other team is ruining rugby league. Okay.
I would agree with you. I think there's a certain speed that Brisbane want to play at because that's when gaps start to appear. And I would agree from Penrith's side that they probably put in a lot of work completely bending us over that first half, and they're probably willing to give us a little bit of rope, which we eventually hung ourselves on. But I could not agree more. But we didn't address Adam Reynolds in that first half. I cannot believe. But at the time, I had no issue with what I saw. I feel like he just had a bit of a moment. I mean, obviously, when you look back to the context of the whole game, those 2 points are huge. But is anyone really upset that that happened at the time? Like, it wasn't great. But this is what the Broncos are right now in 2023. They're a team that chanced their arm. They backed themselves. Adam Reynolds hasn't done anything all year to suggest that he couldn't possibly pull this off. Mm-hmm. He just shit the bed in that moment. So why this narrative on Adam Reynolds right now that everyone seems to be coming out of the woodwork for? I just don't get
because
it.
He's done,
without him,
he's done
there.
In two of Penrith's four grand finals.
Okay, there was a fact. There was definitely a little bit. He had the red mist. He had a bit of Cody Walker come through in regards to he's still feeling that last final. But, I mean, you can't – without him there, we don't make this final.
Okay.
We didn't lose the
game
by two.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. You've driven Brisbane to the Gold Coast to Brisbane countless times, yeah?
Yeah.
You've seen that person, whoever they may be, on the side of the fucking M1 with their bonnet up, crying into their hands. Yeah?
You see where this is going, yeah.
Are they crying into their hands thinking, oh, I'm so proud of this car, I would have never got this far down the highway if it wasn't for its engine?
Okay.
Or are they going, fuck you, my car broke down and I didn't get where I needed to go? I missed my job interview. Fucking docs have just come and taken my kids because I've got no money. I didn't meet my meth dealer. I'm fucked. Which of those two scenarios?
Mate, you got to be in it to win it because sometimes that car is going to get you where you're going. And when that car is one of the few, because there's not very many good cars on the market.
Yeah, exactly. After somebody else with a better car comes and gives you a lift.
How much further is Jock Madden getting us? Us out of the petrol station. We got a ride. I mean, no disrespect to Jock Madden, but I don't think he stepped in perfectly throughout the year. Where he need to.
Yeah, he didn't describe
it. But at the end of the day, who are we going to bring in to replace him? I think we just got to ride Reynolds home. He's costing us nothing. He had a shit game, but without him, we just don't get there. So that narrative, I put to bed. I've heard all that noise coming from Jonathan Thurston calling for, you know, what did he say? That he would have retired at this age?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, yeah, that's the age I retired. You got.
Yeah, well, then I did. Yeah, well, that was 2018, and Cowboys finished fucking 13th. So I would have given it away too. He was playing in a sand pit at a special school with that club.
Well, and then see, that sort of wrecks my next question. I was going to say Nathan Cleary, Jonathan Thurston, and Adam Reynolds. Which half has fucked the Broncos in grand finals harder? Out of those three.
You can take this to the bank. The 2015 grand final is worse. Absolutely. Absolutely worse. Because A, was in the last 4 seconds. Mm. We were beaten by a team that was far superior, really, through the context of the season.
Yep.
In my opinion. This year, Penrith are the team to beat. We're coming into this. We're paying Reece Walsh 250K in a bag of coke. Ezra Mann's basically paying us to play for us. Like, this is the free premiership year.
Yep.
From here, it gets hard. So 2015 for me had everyone out there shouldn't have lost that, shouldn't have lost this. But for me, no. 2015's worse. So I'm going to say Jonathan Thurston is the answer to that question. Nathan Cleary has many years left for us to bend him over. Don't worry about that.
Okay. So Mam scored his three. You guys are up. You guys are up. Cleary makes the break, and there is no one supporting him but Moses Leota.
Yep.
What happens next?
Yeah. I mean, for me, the feeling I had in that moment was, this is just that one. Right, this is that one we let them have because we got a little bit adventurous. Mm-hmm. We pushed up a little bit too hard. We're leaving some gaps we shouldn't. That's my mindset in that point, because I'm not going to lie, I started playing out in my head, you know, the fantasy of post 80 minutes and kept telling myself not to and dragging myself back to that moment, which is the absolute worst thing you can possibly do in a moment, but your body will not let you not do this. But I really just thought it was that one that we're willing to give up. We were just getting a little bit too far ahead of ourselves. So in that moment, he's gone over. It didn't feel great, but I just thought it was that one, that taste. It's still extremely confident that we're going to win.
Are you doing any maths in your head at this stage about three tries wins it?
I really thought at that
three
point,
converted tries.
No maths, but I just thought we needed one more try to win it. Even when that try was scored, I'm thinking we just need one more try to break their spirits and say, yeah, you've done this, but look, we've come back and just put one back on you. It was just always one try, one more try, one more try. No quick maths in my head.
So then we get to Cleary 40-20?
Yeah.
Cleary 40-20, and they camp down there.
This is where shit gets hairy, if I'm honest. This is where shit gets hairy, because I'd started – probably there's a few painless pans in front of me, and they were just standing up for some reason before the game, having this conversation about why Penrith were going to win it, because they're absolute machines. And one of the guys goes, and what a Brisbane have, they're just exciting. And I'm sitting on this fact, like, it's just burning a hole in me. So for the first 60 minutes, I'm just waiting to be able to say something. And every fiber of my being is saying, don't get cocky. Don't say anything back to this guy. Just sit and wait for the 80 minutes. But the moment Mam scored that third try, I just shouted, yelling, so we're only exciting, are we? We're only exciting. Just to I could not deal with this guy's attitude. And the moment I did that, Then it was fucking tits up. This 40-20 goes in, and they just camp there, and they're doing what they did in the first half. They're not really throwing too much shape at it, I'll be honest. I mean, the spaces that appeared off, I think, some tired defenders, but they don't. I really don't think they were throwing a lot at us. It's just Cleary pulled a lot of magic, and he did what he did, and he saw the gaps, and he took advantage. I don't think that's creme de la creme rugby league. I mean, if we're saying that those last two tries are like the pinnacle of rugby league, I'm not feeling it. I think it's exposing tired defences, which is what a good halfback should be doing, which is what good halves should be doing anyway.
Which is exactly what Mam did.
I think men, yeah, well, that's fair, but yeah. I think the difference is...
Okay, so you get the 40-20, you get Walsh trap back in goal, absolutely fucking manhandled. You've got the Stephen Crichton try. You've got Critter's two kicks. His first kick was to trap Walsh. His second trip kick to, what was it, Cobbo that he trapped in the goal?
I don't know.
The Crichton try, where he's beaten two and carried two across the line and put it down.
Yeah, but that would be on this side. That would be... That would be Farnworth and Arthur's side.
So the Crichton try happens.
Yep.
And Cleary converts. How are you feeling?
As a Broncos fan that has gone through the last, ever since 2015, right? I think every fan of any sport knows in their heart of hearts when their team sucked.
Mm.
And it was only until that last try was scored.
Yep.
And I looked at the clock and I knew we were done, I think, at that point. Because I've been in that position so many times, and when your team has been bad for a long time, you can read the body language of the team, and I think they were still trying.
Yep.
But there's just that feeling of momentum that you know a team has it and you don't know how to wrestle it back. And yep. All the stars are aligning and it's the world's slowest motion train wreck.
Mm.
That's what those last 4 minutes were.
So it gets two.
Yeah.
And again, the camp, they're on the line and there is nothing going. And then it's Cleary time. Left foot, straight in.
That for me is all playing out in slow motion because I didn't see exactly how he cut through the line. I've seen glimpses of it, but I know he did it all himself. And the way he celebrated makes me want to break his face with something hard. There's just so many things that led up to that moment. Like the stars align. I don't know how you're meant to. You can't, sometimes you cannot fight your way out of that. I think that could be any team on any day. And they just wanted it more in that minute. I don't think any team could have won it from that position. I think there were some knock-ons, there was some silly play, but after that second try with one try to go, you just felt in the stadium.
I would also like
to
point out that he did it with his captain, Ozai, off the field with an HIA.
They improved. And
New South Wales number 6 on the sideline busted. We had no right to win that game.
No, don't twist this narrative.
Absolutely no fucking
right. What was me? I mean, there's absolutely.
But the other thing that's fascinating is how outcoached Kevy was. So after the Leota try.
Yeah.
His masterstroke was, get Billy Buck on. If you look at that, after the Leota try, Ivan pulls Leota off. 4 minutes later, puts Leota back on. Then, 3 minutes later, pulls Leota off. So he's chopping and changing cunts out there. You guys don't know who's playing. Absolute coaching masterclass.
Look, from what I'm hearing from the players themselves, I mean, it's Payne Haas and it's Paddy Carrigan that are choosing their own on and off times here, right? Their own changes based on how they feel throughout the game. He coaches the whole thing off vibes, right? He just goes with his gut because at the end of the day, this Brisbane Broncos team, it's not going to make much of a difference. They play off momentum. They were screwed the moment they'd lost it in their heads. They were screwed. I don't think it's master coaching. I just think they're a vibes team. He coaches off vibes. Let's face it. He's not Ivan Cleary, and I'll I'm happy you'd take that to the bank, but at the end of the day, he's a vibes coach. I don't think he lost it through some of those choices. So I would have liked to see Billy Walters out there a little bit longer, especially considering what he did in the first half. It was lost in that first half. Out the freaking door. Could not get out of that place quick enough that final try.
Nice. As you should be.
That feeling when you realize it's coming, this last 4 minutes where it's playing out in slow motion and you're just waiting, and it just could have been anyone but Cleary. I think I would have put him right at the bottom of my list of players I wanted to score that try.
Mm-hmm.
The media is so far inflated this man's arsehole. It's so dilated you could fit the Titanic in there full of compliments he doesn't yet deserve. But anyway, he did it. And this last 4 minutes...
The cunt is the first seven to three-peat in the modern era.
Why doesn't he take that three-peat into doing something in Origin? Like any player,
he's fucking man of the match game two from last year.
One game.
That's something in Origin.
That's something in Origin. Win something, bro. String it together. We win the man of the match. I mean,
State
I got
of
a
Origin
petition.
Means fucking nothing. The allegiance goes club, state, country. Club, state, country. And it is club, fucking daylight, and state.
Well, we're talking about greatness, right? We're talking about greatness holistically. So there's no doubt in my mind that in a very well-coached system, he's an exceptional footballer. But I mean, look at your Jonathan Thurston's, your Andrew Johns. These people have done it everywhere. Right, you're like Brad Fittlers of the world. They've done it, Alfie Langers. They've done it in all forms of the game. Where Nathan Cleary is playing really well with his friends.
Fucking hell.
That's what he's playing well in his home sandbox. Do you know what I mean? But you bring him over with the other autistic kids and he just doesn't play well at all.
That's an interesting thing, though. And it just goes to how fucking cooked Brad Fittler was.
As a coach,
I would like to see Andrew Johns or Jonathan Thurston or anyone fucking DNA replicated or put into a fucking AI simulator that exactly recreates the moments of a game and see how Jonathan Thurston does with fucking Nico Hines at right center. Fucking. Or does Damien Cook? Fucking, it's Jesus Christ. My man, thank you very much for coming on. I know it is still a sore point for you. I would encourage you to watch the game again. I really would. If only for the appreciation it will give you into Mam, into how your forwards matched up and may give you something to look forward to because you have fucking nothing now because Brisbane window is shut, but you can look forward to the end of Adam Reynolds' contract if you watch this game.
Okay. So just let me quickly unpack that. So for starters, I will watch the game probably. I need 6 months. I'll watch it drunk on the plane to Vegas.
Very nice.
At least the first 60 minutes. But there's no way we're done here. You know this, right? Like, why do I bite? Why do I bite? I don't know, but I'm here and I'm going to bite. Biting down deep on this. We are winning the premiership next year, and you wait till the market's open because I'm putting my fucking house on it.
Okay.
We are going to win that premiership next year. I can guarantee we will be back in that big dance. I know how fucking crazy I sound right now, but I just know it. In my loins. But I encourage everyone that may listen to this to just mortgage everything that you own and put it on Brisbane Broncos to win next year with Adam Reynolds leading from the front.
Clive Churchill?
Yeah, the more you put on, the more you get back.
Disclaimer. Cooked cunts don't necessarily share views of the show.
Be there next year.
Man.
thing. We have a window here, and that's the only thing that is keeping me happy at this point in time. Because if we were Parramatta, might be a different conversation. But we're not.
Nice. Fucking epic. Well, look, I hope we can do this again next year with exactly the same result, obviously. But safe travels. Love you, brother.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for having me on.
No,
I'll go and not watch the replays and ignore all social media so no one try and contact me for 6 months because they don't exist.
We'll get a mid-season review from you.
Yeah, do that because then you watch some swinging shit, man.
Done. Right, my man. Gotcha.
Gotcha. There is no cock like horse cock. Send your asshole into shock. You need horse
cock, of course cock. Grab the lube and slam the day away. And we're back. Wasn't that educational and entertaining?
Fuck that guy.
He literally spent the last 45 seconds talking about how great it was to see you.
Yeah, but yeah, Clint didn't know that, so we got his honest reaction.
I did say before we started recording that I had a great catch up with him, and yeah, I do love that.
Yeah, but I'm going to cut that out now.
Yeah, okay, cool. I don't care.
So I don't know what how or what you guys spoke about in that in your conversation with Sam.
We went through the grand final. Why am I saying everyone's just literally heard it? I'll tell you later.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I just don't. You know, I just have to be guided on how we approach the next bit when we talk about it.
Now we'll just talk about the grand final. And okay, cool. Be some fucking things I say twice, but they're so fucking good. People deserve.
So we don't need to go through the scorers and all the rest of it, do we?
Everyone knows who the fucking scorers that matter were. It was Nathan Cleary at the end. It was Stephen Crichton, and it was Moses Leota before that.
Okay, Glennie. Well, he's had his say that we haven't heard. So you know, you have your say then.
Look,
it's actually worked out really great. Let me just say, it's really worked out really great because now we can't have him repeating himself. So we don't have to listen to a bunch of the shit he's going to say.
No. That whole bit was just Sam talking for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that at all.
One second.
Sorry, I'm going to have to work on the basis that it was mostly you. And so we don't need to hear from you again on this game. Glennie, the floor's yours.
From my perspective, I said last week that Brisbane had to own the first 20 minutes to give themselves a chance of winning the game. They did not do that. They made five errors in the first 15 minutes. Which that period of the game finished with one of the now infamous short dropouts that was batted back into the.
Yeah.
And can I just say, one of the great short dropouts, and the player gets two fucking hands on it, and instead of just like come down with it, he elects to bat it back when that was clearly not the plan and no one was expecting or sweeping for that situation, you know?
Exactly.
Brain dead.
I think the fact that Brisbane was chasing their tail in that sort of first 15, 20 minute period, I'm happy for you guys to have a counter argument, but some of the absolute fucking brain snaps towards the end of the game, I think, was due to fatigue because they just the adrenaline dump and then completely trying to fucking catch themselves up after fucking up so many times to start the game. And then Penrith started to, build into the game. The Broncos had that period after half time where they, it looked like they were going to put anything on them.
Yeah.
But,
it was every time they went.
Yeah, Ezra Mam. And, some of the misses from Penrith were, Cleary had one, Yo had one.
There's a couple of
signs that Penrith looked gone and shot.
Yep.
And then the game turned on its fucking head. I said, if Penrith get one, I think Brisbane will feel like they're fucked, that they'll come and get them. And sure enough, they're
not even from Brisbane's side, just like Panthers side. They think, okay, we're back in it. I mean, this even happened in that game against the Storm, but the Storm were just like, the game was so put out of reach, in 2000 or whatever, that it wasn't possible for them to come back.
That's it.
But it was the same sort of thing where they got one and they just kept going. And really, I mean, with those things, it's either, you know, one team throws it away or the other team, you know, has someone that does some superhuman shit. And, you know, Clive Churchill medals go to a player with a narrative. But Stephen Crichton.
Fucking oath.
Like two line dropouts for scored the try. Like, he was the catalyst that woke him up and got him back in the game and kept them on their roll to try and get right back into it, you know.
I've now started measuring players' effectiveness in a game by what I call RWPs, which are Reece Walsh poster moments. So there was the absolute fucking belting tackle after the kick that Critter hit him with and then did his fucking Wolverine thing over him, which was great. There was the time that he was absolutely fucking smashed and cried as he was pushed back in goal. That was another RWP for Critter. You know, that was a fucking great performance. The really interesting thing I've found is that the narrative from a lot of people on this game was almost that, well, oh, and even from fucking their coach, it was, oh, we were the better team for most of that game. We should have won that game. They only came back right at the end.
Yeah, well, Penrith was the better team in the first half too. Come on, that's 40 minutes.
No one looks at the fucking 100 metres.
For 25 minutes, maybe.
No one looks at the 100 metres and was like, no. Oh, that guy was fucking great over 70 of them.
He was lightning out of the blocks,
you know.
The guy running last said, "I had the quickest." The guy running last says, "I had the quickest last 2 meters. I was the best over that last 2 meters." No one cares.
Yeah, I was really fucking impressed with Fish and Leota.
They were actually. I mean, and it's not unheard of for a front rower to get Clive Churchill. Brent Clark got it in 2008. And that was the real story. I think the catalyst for Panthers winning was Crichton's effort plays, but the actual reason for their win was a tie, which they couldn't tie a CCM, but it was Fish and Leota. And you just have to look at the prop rotations.
Yeah.
When those two were on the field,
yep.
The Panthers won. They won 18-0.
Yeah.
And when they were off the field, they lost 24-8 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other really interesting thing about Kevvy Walters saying that they were the better team for most of that game, Penrith completed without an error in the second half.
It was only like one for the... Was it one uncompleted
one error
whole game?
97% or something for the game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But that's that mental toughness. And I mentioned this to Wars, and this is as close as I get. When people say arrogance... This is what I see as the Panthers' arrogance. It's not the fact that they're out there doing fucking, you know, Instagrams and saying that Parramatta are our sons and making fucking TikToks at Reece Walsh going, who's mum, which is quite potentially the fucking scariest words that have ever exited a human being's mouth, was James Fisher Harris saying, who's mum? but the fact that they just don't care who you are, they don't care what you've done. They just know that they will play full 80 minutes of football their way, and they give no fucks about what you're doing. You can't stop them. They're going to keep playing, and they will eventually beat you. That's the arrogance that I see in the Panthers side. I'm not sure there was a bad play. Like, you know, again, like you said, Cleary had a couple of misses. It turns out he did, and I didn't see this at the time. Well, I didn't see it at the time at all. But he got hip-dropped by Haas in the first half. That segues me into... how did you think the referee went?
It was great. You know, and the reason why I say he was great is because I didn't even think about a thing that he did or didn't do the entire game.
Yep.
Not once. Which is fucking rare. Yep. You know how I like to hold these cunts to justice? There was nothing that crossed me in any way at all.
Yep.
So.
Now, can I say to you, so there were, and it, look, it went both ways. You know, the hip drop on Cleary, there were a couple of occasions.
Yeah, see, that's like literally the first, like, so I haven't rewatched it, but that's the first time I've heard anything about that from anyone.
And it hasn't been a big blow-up thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they won and he stayed on the field and all this stuff. There were a bunch of times like Reynolds, like he's obviously felt himself be clipped.
Yeah.
And he did that thing where he starts checking for blood. Like he starts moving, you know, that was ignored. On one of the Reece Walsh poster moments, he's clipped, he's had knees hit him in the back of the head.
Yep.
Now, how many times during the season is, well, there were knees in the head, that's contact, you know, Is that a sustainable way of refereeing? Like, I'd love, it was fucking amazing. That game.
Yeah.
That game flowed so well, but in this age of every contact with the head has to have, we have to call it out and say, yes, we've noticed it.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, like the like Origins and things like that always get a touch more sort of gets, like, you know, gets let through, I guess. But I think that really it's the fact that no one has really said anything about the refereeing in that game outside of, gee, did a good job.
Yep.
You know, I think that's all you need to, you know, that's all you need to hear about the.
And when was the last, you know, when was the last game that happened? Big game.
Long fucking, yeah. Like, even in the final series, we had bullshit. I mean, fucking only a week ago, you know, you had, like, the multiple forward passes in that try there that, you know, started and finished by Reece Walsh. Like, yeah. Yeah, so, look, I can't fault it. And also, being a referee that's outside of the fucking oligarchs of the Suttons and, you know, Klein and whatever, you know, it's great.
Yep.
And this is a guy, and he hasn't been getting big games. Like, you know, there's just been so much shit flying around about the handling of some of the other games that he's got his shot, and he's just taken it.
Nailed it.
Fucking nailed it, yeah. Fuck so, you know, if he's the guy that's doing the Origins now and stuff, then great.
But I tell you, I had such a fucking adventure with this grand final, right? So I'd left it. So obviously us coming back from the meetup, Brisbane were in the grand final, all of this other shit going on. It was $15 a head more expensive to fly back on the Monday.
Yep.
Right. Glennie's ended up staying in Sydney and working out of the hotel room. I couldn't do that. I had to get back. So I've bit the bullet and gone, cool. I can get this flight and it's timed. So I fly out of Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to land in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
I might miss the first 5 minutes on the plane.
You should have fucking... Yeah, you should have fucking jumped in an Uber and come to where we were.
Well, I had the family there to pick me up.
All right.
So that was a thing that they... Well, they, you know, again, however, because Sydney Airport...
The big dick energy move was to leave the family at the airport and get the Uber to the fucking Brisbane meetup.
Yeah, we got you to give you a lift home. Could have celebrated the grand final Penrith style after I had fucking a dozen pints of beer.
Get this fucking ice pop Logan Paul drink in here.
Oh, I tell you, that shit went from fucking from horrible to fucking delicious in like 25 sips. Took a while, but once I got used to it, I could feel it saving my life. You have to follow me on Twitter to understand that fucking journey.
But what's ended up happening? Sydney Airport was absolutely fucked. There was something wrong with, you know, all of their runways.
Standard.
So I've taken off, and I've watched about the first 10 minutes of the game on the plane.
Yep.
I reckon I was a couple of sets behind the Mitch Kenny try when I lost... what do we got? Service.
Yep.
And then periodically, through the trip, I'd hit satellite.
Yep.
And I got the half-time score.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh,
okay. Close game.
Yeah. Fair enough. But look, you know what? That's fine. So not every grand final can be Parramatta. You know?
That's right.
And so then I've gone down and... It's hit again, and they're up 12-8. Oh, okay. There you go. They're in front. They're a young team. They're going to score some points. We'll be right. We've landed, and I had this fucking obnoxious, like, RM Williams-wearing Broncos guy, like, shoved his fucking iPad. Because I have my Panthers stuff on. Shoved his fucking iPad in my face, like, the moment he got service when we'd landed. And I just said, there's still time. I thought about tweeting Virgin and saying, can you please let the cunt in this seat on this flight know that when I say that there's still time, there's still fucking time. But yeah, I didn't. But the plane's landed and I've gotten up and Mam scored his second.
Yep.
And I'm walking out and I walk out to see the family and the kids are all fucking distraught. And as I'm walking out, they're like, oh, that's this, that scored two tries. And so it was actually really good because I didn't actually have to deal with it myself. I just went straight into dad mode. It was, no, 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 we're still going to be proud of them. Like, as losers do, they fucking justify losing and say that losing isn't so bad. You know? It's okay. We're still really proud of them. Four grand finals, greatest team ever. You know, nothing can take that away. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. And then he scored his third as I'm giving that fucking speech. Then it was like a replay of that game against the Warriors, who, mind you, I equate the Broncos to exactly the same level of competition as the Warriors. They're the same level of club, in my opinion. But as we're walking out, we've gone out past the fucking baggage check. Leota's gone in. All of a sudden, we're on the fucking ramp to go up to the where the car park is, and Arthur's walking along with a phone in his hand. He's just giving me updates, giving me updates, giving me updates. 40-20, 40-20, 40-20. And the Crichton try. And the full-time siren rang as we were fucking almost off the gateway.
Yeah.
And I have driven up, honking the horn and screaming three in a row, you cuck motherfuckers, out the window as loud as I can. Which was an absolutely wonderful way to celebrate.
To absolutely nobody in industrial and highway areas of the I mean, it wasn't like you just fucking turned left and fucking drove down Caxton Street.
There were other cars who obviously cared about it as much as I did because they were driving while the grand final was on. But then watched the game in replay when I got home.
Because I think that there's one factor, like when we were talking about the game, like before the game. There's one thing that we didn't account for at all, and that is the fact that Brisbane is some fucking grand final choking ass bitches.
Yeah.
Now they own the two biggest fucking grand final chokes of all time.
And not only do they
own... most heartbreaking, biggest, fucking every metric.
But not only do they do it, they choked so hard that they overtook the Dragons' choking record.
Which is just unfathomable.
Yeah, that's it.
For that to be, yeah, yeah. So, do you have any final thoughts
Reynolds' legacy, like, he's copped a fair bit of flack, and rightfully so. The decisions to keep going for short dropouts, especially as Penrith are clearly coming back at them. Penrith, and Jay said it a million times, field position and possession is Penrith's game. Line speed, there's other factors to it. But they hold on to the ball, they don't make mistakes, and they play down your end, and they just keep squeezing until you die.
That's honestly, if he didn't kick a short... I mean, like, give him the first one.
Kick the try, fuck try it and try. Out if of he the
had
ball.
If he hadn't have kicked short dropouts after that first one that resulted in a try...
Yeah.
They would have bled enough time off the clock to that last try wouldn't have had time to be scored. The game would have been over.
Why give it? I just kick the fuck out of the ball. Get your bit. You know, like,
here's some homework. Then,
yeah.
If you're a metric person, this year across the NRL, somebody fucking please tell me the number of short dropouts attempted. You could have to break it down by team or whatever, but how many were attempted? How many resulted in recovered possession for the kicking side? Because I'd love to know what the money ball metric is that makes you do it that many fucking times in a grand final when it hasn't worked once.
Yeah.
And it's literally cost you the game. Literally cost you the game because that first try is the fucking margin right there. Boom.
Yeah, but it was the first try. It was a kick out on the full.
Then it was out in the full. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, it was a try, and then it was 8 points of the straight up with the penalty, you know, attributed, plus the other shit. Yeah. So, right there.
This is my thing with Reynolds. Anyone defending him is that's now two grand finals that he has just made, and it's not heat of the moment, you know, Cody Walker, I'm going to throw an intercept pass mistakes. I have time to think and prepare and to process my decision to decide what sort of kick I'm going to put in for this line dropout.
I wonder if it come down from the booth, though, too.
And fucking, okay, you know, great.
Well, I don't know. Who's
we know
fucking,
that Kevin can't coach.
Who's
we know
fucking
Kevin can't coach.
Sending shit down from the booth when the coach is wearing seven on the field?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I went through it with Wars on the other feed. But fuck, if you guys are interested, go and look at Ivan's interchanges at the end of that game. Cunts were fucked. He was literally bringing them off to have a Gatorade, like bend over and take some big ones, and then get the fuck back out there.
Yeah.
He was rotating cunts left, right, and center. Like,
yep.
It was fucking magic. Super coach. Absolute fucking super coach.
Anything else to add, Glennie?
No, I started to say with Reynolds' legacy, like, there's people calling for his retirement.
Jonathan Thurston's calling for his retirement.
Wow. Okay.
He's alluding to it. Oh, yeah, I was about his age when I quit.
Yeah. But just some of that decision
making. The real
making,
pioneer
like,
for the worst fucking injured halfback ever. Thurston.
but yeah, some of that decision making for a guy that, you know, was lauded for much of the season and since he came to the Broncos and really throughout his career for his leadership and his game management and kicking game and all the rest of it. That game did some serious damage to his reputation and legacy. And, you know, you put that with, you know, he got hurt in the game. How much that affected him, I don't know.
But, well, he's always fucking injured, so he should be used to it.
That's fair.
That should have put him in his fucking flow state.
But you tell me that. You take, like, who's another organising half? Like, Cherry, you take Ben Hunt. Any other great organizer.
Ben Hunt's put, and you,
he's a good organising seven.
He's just got, organising a pack of cunts.
He's just got to do far more than that for St. George. Yeah. Right? But you put, imagine if the fucking sliding doors moment, if Brisbane had never let go of Hunt and he was in that side instead of Reynolds. You know?
Yeah, look, you know, there's arguments that they, you know, they may not have got there. In the first place, to
or maybe he kicks the dropouts long, but fucking drops
all the kickoffs they kicked to him. Look, but the thing that the other thing that I just wanted to raise to people is, I mean, we see it all the time, like through the season, you know, in the Facebook group and whatever, and people always say, like, you know, like, Nate, why are you always like hashtag fucking Tigers in decline? And I have to explain to them because, you know, obviously it's a perpetual thing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it comes true. And they're like, oh, well, you know, why is it all hashtag fuck the Broncos? People need to start recognising the power of these hashtags. And instead of asking me why I persist in saying them, they should be down on their knees praying I don't make one about their fucking team. Because the power is undisputed at this stage. You're welcome, Brisbane. This is what you get.
Wow. Things have taken a sinister turn.
I have. Who's fucking next? That's the question you should be asking.
Make another one about the Tigers.
Which team gets blessed? I think I want to get the Doggies next.
We'll have a bit of Nateception. The Tigers will win the next 10 comps.
can you imagine? I mean, what possible fucking reward could I get from blessing you with that? turning you into the dragons of the mid 1900s, and so what happens? You just, I mean, what the outcome of that is that, you know, on our deathbed we find out that half of them are pedophiles. I mean,
but now officially the greatest team to ever play the game.
There's no metric that fucking. They won
three in a row in the salary cap era.
This is about to, where we wind it up, boys.
Yep, I'm sure you spoke with that. It was anyway, so
no, didn't.
Along.
We didn't. three in a row in the salary cap era. Did it losing, and they now have that Melbourne-esque situation where players leave Penrith and turn to shit. And that might just be because they've all gone to either the Dogs or the Tigers. But
just counteracted
your own argument. Part of it on that. Well, no, he still said they went to shit. I mean, it's just because they go to shit teams, they still, yeah, I mean, they still played shit in those teams. Okay. Like Matt Burton, for example, at the end of this season, can't look like he was a hostage.
Yeah.
He was playing like he was being forced.
Like a
not by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, but like by like pain of death.
Did it through losing players, bought in players that weren't superstars, they didn't bring in any big names. special fucking mention. Did you watch
Peachy's one of the most famous names in modern rugby league, but
that is true. Talking. Did you watch the presentation day at Panthers the next day, Glennie, when they were calling the team out?
No.
And they
yeah, I can't imagine a single fucking reason Glennie'd want to watch that.
I don't know, to have some sort of fucking joy in his day. But when they said the words, premiership winner, Jack Cogger. Did they
Golden Balls. Absolute delight, and his father was filled with such pride, as he should be, and probably a little bit of relief that his son never ended up with the West Tigers.
He never felt that, like, that burning need, like legacy and you know, family connection and all that shit.
He's the type of parent that wants better for his children.
Yeah, and Jack's the type of kid that doesn't care about his parents' legacy or anything like that. He just cares about playing first grade.
Yeah, Jack's and, more about and winning. Fuck your legacy, Dad.
And money.
Look, I think it's selective legacy, you know? I love my dad. I want to be just like my dad. I want to play rugby league like my dad. Oh, you're going to play for the Tigers? I want to play rugby league like my dad. Like, he's happy with the level of fucking emulation he's given. Take it no further.
Look, I'm sure if the Magpies are still around, it'd be a different story, but they're not.
But we'll never know.
Have we got any news?
Because they're
week?
Dead. Oh, I didn't even look at any news.
Who fucking cares? The season's over.
Yeah, who cares? Season's over. We got some test matches coming up though. The Pacific Championships.
The interesting thing, did you see that old fucking Inspector Gadget cosplay out at the Tigers was asked to stand down?
Listen, I'll tell you, there's a theory that there is a theory that we've been bandying around, because let's just say there are people in the game who have business dealings with the West Tigers. A couple of people are CC'd on these emails, and the news leaks to the mole immediately.
Mm.
And by process of elimination, we've been trying to figure out who this mole could be. Who said the rat in the ship?
Yeah,
and Fedora is one of the potential candidates. So the theory is that the board, off the record, told Fedora he was going to be extended for 3 years or whatever it was.
Yep.
He immediately they don't tell the rest of the major spot. They don't tell anyone else. It's just like they just say to him. It's not official or anything like that. It's not written down. The news leaks immediately. So the rat has just fucking ratted himself, has just outed himself as a rat, which is now fast forward to the news today where there's people going, fucking, we did not agree to this. We have grave reservations about this.
Wow.
So look, it appears that maybe the Fedora's time has come or coming.
Delightful.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, Glennie. That would be the best off-season news you could have.
Yeah,
even better if he took his fucking underling with him, but
yeah, but you have to imagine that with a new, you know, with someone new at the top,
slipping down to level two into the assisted dying conference.
Yeah, exactly. They sent Fedora down there to fucking get a show bag. So
what are you getting in the assisted dying show bag? Fuck me, that'd be a,
I don't know, like
picture
a syringe
of you.
Full of fentanyl.
It'd be a picture of you, signed photo of Nathan Gillis.
Why would you want to, why would that assist you dying? I mean, you're going to come to death or something.
Look, I would, but fucking hey, I'm not everyone.
Yeah, you'd be looking like that little fucking alien that they brought out in Parliament in Mexico a couple of weeks
just,
ago.
Just a little dry. Just give me a couple of days for my balls to come back. This is hard work, guys.
Just give me some fucking, red, white, and blue prime. Save me, Logan Paul. That's what. I don't know what else news there is. Oh, did you see Fox? Did you see the vision of Fox getting involved in an altercation? You know, very fucking tangentially getting involved in an altercation at the knockout.
Yeah. So tangentially. You know,
It was a bit of niggle and stuff like that, and then it got to a bit of push and shove between him and the ultimate guy, but it was really like he sort of squared up, and then his mate that was like, you know, front and left just fucking king hit the guy and absolutely neutralized him, which is like about as dog shot as it gets. But I mean, if you're supporting your fucking your international state of origin member of your squad too, you know, I see it. But yeah, so like. I don't think it was worth two match suspension for Fox though, and which has ultimately knocked him out of these the Pacific Championships series
fucking,
of games.
Fucking interesting situation for the clubs. Do they continue to let players go and play in the Currie Knockout? You know, obviously the players are extremely passionate about it, and I think it's awesome that you see, you know, guys that, you know, like George Rose out there and Joel Thompson, those guys are just, you know, still out there giving back to their communities. And I think it's a bad look for the clubs if they start putting restrictions on players.
It's also weird. Weird things as well, like, you know, where Latrell Mitchell doesn't get selected for the Australian squad because he's injured.
Mm.
But next minute he's out there running around in knockout, though, you know, and playing. So
we discussed this at the meetup, and the consensus we got to was that it's probably reasonable for clubs to not want their players to participate in games. That would then probably be met with the scrutiny of, well, hang on, what about state of origin? You let them go and play origin, or you let them go and play test matches, which the rebuttal is that that's another professional competition, and it's played on, you know, professional grade fields. And yes, it has the professional risk of injury. However, what we're going to do is, instead of sending players out, every club in the NRL is going to send, you know, whatever it may be, 1, 2, 3 ambassadors out to the competition. And the NRL is going to give each of those teams $10,000. And you can all go out there and you can select a fucking charity to assist, or you can select a player of the tournament, or you can, you know, find out about a community that needs some assistance, or a social program they're running out there. So we still want to be heavily involved. We still want you to be present out there.
Yep.
But we want it to be in a more controlled or controllable, I should say, fine. And after you're retired, or, you know.
Otherwise, you just do it like as a player, from a player's perspective, you just do it as like a at your own risk sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like, it's going to, you know, like, you're going to be losing match payments, and maybe like, you know, the clubs can't cover your, you know, your injury, and, you know, it's going to have to come off your personal health insurance and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, like, clubs can't foot the bill. Today I actually had the opportunity to look at the match payments for representative players under the new agreement, and there's some good stuff in there. With the Jillaroos actually getting like parity pay with the Kangaroos for World Cup games. So Kangaroos World Cup has more games played per team, so they're getting 40 grand a game, I think it is. Jillaroos, at the moment they're saying they'll be playing less, so they're getting 35 grand. But that's if the number of games and everything changes, and, you know, it's like a prorata sort of thing, so it'll be the same as what the Kangaroos are getting across the same thing. These matches coming up, $3,000 a player, and I'll tell you the best job for a rugby league player at the moment in terms of rep football: 18th man in a state of origin, because the 18 men all get the $30,000 match payment.
How good.
So if you're the 18th man in origin, well, this year the 18th man got on the field a couple of times, but ordinarily though, yeah, amazing. Squad members, $2,000 a match, but Oh, sorry, the World Cup's the 40,000 for the event. So, yeah, and then the Jillaroos get 35,000 because they play less games across the event. So that's how they work out the pro rata thing. Yeah. These ones coming up, though, the Pacific ones, they'll be $3,000 a match. There's nothing really to talk about. So, regrettably, none of those games are here. You got a couple down at the Korean Housewife, a couple up in Townsville, and then there's some up in PNG.
Yeah, right.
I think so. So we don't get the opportunity to see him rock around, but looking forward to that end of the month or sort of middle and end of October for those games, men and women. I don't know. I haven't really been following. I'm going to be honest. Hey, so I'll tell you what. So I think we'll aim for the RC agent next week, right?
Let's do it.
What's going to make you happy, Glennie? What episode do you want to do next week? The Never Again this year? The No Episodes Again?
I'll tell you. I've taken a leaf.
I'll take it.
Taking a leaf out of your book, Glennie.
Sorry to hear that.
Just signed up for an over 35s basketball league.
Oh.
We're calling ourselves the Big Deezers.
You are not, you liar. We're
fucking not. No, you should call yourself Thomas. You should call yourself the Train Yard or Thomas the Tanks, yeah. And then that way you can have different. You know, someone can be Gordon, and you know someone can be Fat Controller.
Call yourselves the useless midgets.
The silly cunt that started the teams of Canberra fans. So went to the Green Machine.
Oh, fuck!
It is the worst name.
Eat a dick.
How would you sign you? Yeah.
Unfortunately,
no less than you deserve.
Positive note, our uniforms look like they're fucking Twill sponsored. So they're green and yellow.
And now I think, you know, because of the lack of game content and things like that coming out next week, I was thinking something that we could ask, like, the listeners to contribute. And not the standard bullshit, like, what's your ladder prediction for next year and shit like that. What I want to know is, and you can just you can tie it to the game or you can tie it to your club, what's the narrative that you want to see play out next year? Ooh. So for Glenn, it could be not winning a fucking spoon. Look. Adam Dewey miraculously learning how to walk again.
3P.
Maybe. 3 Peter spoons. That's what you want. This is what you want. This is not what you think's going to happen. This is what you want.
We're a lot closer to that than we are making the 8.
Yeah, but I don't want. It's what you want, not what you.
Oh, yeah. I want you cunts to shut up. I don't think that's going to happen either.
No, probably not.
Fucking hell.
Look. I guess you can't always get what you want, Glenn. This is a great lesson to you.
I'll tell you what, as of next year, this is officially being renamed fucking Pride of Glennie's and will feature only Glennie every week.
Excellent.
For 2 hours.
Yep.
Fucking,
yep.
I'd listen to that.
And it's about mental health. You can listen to Glennie fucking implode in real time.
People tuning in going, oh, it's a podcast on mental health.
You go, gee, this cunt's really declining.
Pride of Glennie's.
I feel so much better about myself listening to this guy.
He's not really made for this solo thing. I mean, we really started to hear some fucking, like,
dark.
Yeah, we hear some dark home truths right now. I mean, I don't know if he thinks this is his inside voice or his internal monologue or what. But he's saying it out loud.
I didn't even know that he masturbates with his wife's exfoliating glove.
See, that's so specific. I know you've done that. Like you, like.
Look, I was going to say cheese grater, but I dialed it back for Glenn.
All right, so that was 5:38, I believe. I'll just apologise about Glenn. I mean, he's just not himself tonight. But that's all right.
Maybe I'm my true self.
No.
Maybe I'll be better next week when we bring on Forward. Fucking please. Maybe I'll be better. Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to be exactly the same. Probably
so
worse.
With that in mind, ask the agent. I mean, you know, it's only possible through people asking questions of the agent. So get your questions in on whatever medium.
I've got a couple of questions.
AGENT, not Asian.
Yeah, we're not asking Asians anything, Lenny. I mean, well, you know, look, you know, we'll
Where's
see if he knows.
Container?
Where the fuck are my parts?
Where are my parts? What?
Can I tell you, the taxi driver I had out of the airport, I fucking love a stereotype. I love a stereotype. This guy, we get talking, and I feel with taxi drivers these days, if you don't steer the conversation effectively enough, it will always go to Uber. We'll always go to Uber.
Okay.
So you just said, do you drive Uber as well, mate?
And no, I don't want to get there quicker. And so I wasn't fucking, you know, steering the conversation. So he's gotten to Uber and how so many people have done it and they don't do it. And then he goes, you know what you do? You know, the only way to do Uber? So this guy, he was an Asian gentleman. Lovely guy. Great time. He said, you buy a 5 to 7 year old Corolla. That's it. 5 to 7 year old Corolla. Japanese cars. And he went on and on and on for about 10 minutes about how fucking Japanese cars are great. And I thought, awesome. There you go. Stereotype. He's all about his Japanese cars and efficiencies and this and this and this and this and this. And then he goes on about how they all buy Teslas now. They all buy Teslas and they'll end up paying $150,000 for a $50,000 car. And it's... And honestly, at the beginning of it, I was like, I'm not sure if he's mad because they're bad at maths or because they're not buying Japanese cars. But by the end of it, he was equally furious at both. Just these random fucking Uber drivers that he sees. And we went past one. There was a Didi in a Tesla, like the Didi sign in a Tesla.
Yeah.
And he's just exploded and gone, how much do you think she's going to pay for that car? And it's not even a good quality car. So, and I'm like, yep, that's it. I agree with you.
Just let me out of this cab.
I know. So,
do I get a discount for fucking listening to this white paper? So,
I know. Is this a mobile TED talk?
Wherever you are, taxi driver, I hope you find a 5 to 7 year old Corolla to buy. I really do.
He's gonna fucking blow up on a rank, call himself the Unidriver or something. And you've just heard his manifesto in full.
The Uniroller. There we go.
Right, that's it.
We're done. Can't wait for Ask the Agent.
Yep.
I can.
And yeah, get your questions in. Patrons, nice. Get your questions in as well. And
I'll tell you, back around. I enjoyed talking to Sammy. And maybe next year we might open up the super fan for the review section occasionally. Okay. And we'll open that up to patrons first. So
look forward to vetting that process. Sorry, did I say that out loud? Are we still recording?
yeah, we are. I'm not cutting it out either. That's it. All right.
Thanks for a good season.
Yeah, and I will back again next week. Get your questions in.
Later.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.